right. Good morning. Is everybody awake? Amen. Trying to get there. Hopefully you've had your coffee and your Bible this morning. And looking forward to what the Lord has for us. Turn your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 34. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 34. And we are going to look at a lot of verses as we journey through some of these truths here the next two Sundays, Lord willing. And I've been praying about what to teach here, and we've been kind of building this lesson because there's a lot of people that I think they're good Baptists, they're church-going people, and they have a Bible. They have a copy of God's Word in their lap. They bring it to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night when they come. But that's about the extent of it in a lot of places. There's a lot of people that don't really have a relationship with their Bible. Now, I'm not talking about replacing your Bible as if it's God, but the Bible did say that God did magnify His Word above His name in His Word. And I don't think you can separate the two. We are a people of the book. We are a book people. That's what separates a Bible-believing Baptist from other denominations, if you could say it that way, is we are truly a people of the book. We want to know, what does the Bible say? Why do we have church the way we have church? Why do we preach what we preach? Why do we sing the songs that we sing? Why do we do what we do? Why do we support missionaries? Why do we give a tithe? Why do we give a missions offering? Why do we live a certain way during the week, not just during a weekend when we come to church? Why do we do what we do? And the reason why we do it is because we're a people of the book. And God gave us, I believe God gave the church two books. One of them is inspired, inerrant, infallible. That's your Bible. If you have a King James Bible, you have the book that God wrote. It's the only book God wrote, and we have it today. We have found the book, amen? And it's the King James Bible. It's not, there's no errors in it. If you have a copy of God's Word in your lap, you have the book that God, He not only wrote it, but He preserved it. He inspired it. He gave it to us, and you still have it today. Whatever you read in there, you don't have to question it. You don't have to put a yea hath God said, the question mark that the devil put on Eve's mind there in Genesis chapter number 3. So He gave us a Bible, and He also gave us a hymn book. I really believe that. It's not inspired. It's not without error. There's things in there maybe that we sing that we don't necessarily agree with. But as a whole, I really believe that God in His love and mercy gave us a hymn book that we can sing from. I think that's why there's such an attack on these two books particularly. Churches are getting rid of their Bibles and they're getting rid of the hymn books to replace it with something else, something newfangled, a new way, a new trail. And so, but we stick to these things because we are a people of the book. And your relationship with the book of God will determine what kind of relationship you have with the God of the book. And so, I want to teach maybe for the next two Sundays, Lord willing. And so I'm not going to rush through it. I've got a lot of information here. But I want to teach on the subject here for 2 weeks on you and your Bible. You and your Bible, as a people of the book, as the old preacher used to say, it's either back to the Bible or back to the jungle. Amen. You start getting rid of your Bible, you'll start living like the jungle people. Amen. I'm serious. I'm not. Amen. We live in a concrete jungle, don't we? Called a city that's full of crime, it's full of wickedness, it's full of uncleanness, full of evil spirits. And so when we come inside the four walls of a church and we assemble together with the people of God, isn't it amazing that we all bring God's book with us? Everything is centered around this Bible, isn't it? Even the design of this auditorium, when we come in, the very focal point, the very center of this church is this pulpit, but it's not just this piece of furniture. What do? We open up the book of God. And we all have the book of God in our lap, and what do? We're all focused around what does God have to say to us? Not to somebody else, but to me. He's a personal God, and He gave you a personal book, And there's some commands that are for you and your Bible, and they're not the same. They're all a little bit different, but they're all complementary to each other, but they're not the same activity. So I'm going to give you, there's six things here as we kind of introduce this study on how to learn, how to understand, and how to study your Bible. You ever want to know what you do with this book? People say, I don't really read it because I don't understand it. And they sure don't, they don't memorize it. They don't study it. So what do you do with your Bible? What are you supposed, what does God expect from you with that book that you have in your lap? So let me give you a few things. This is very simple, really. But I think what we've done is we've complicated it. Even little children can do some of these things as they are introduced to the book of God. I can remember even as a little child being in the Awana program. And by the way, that's where God started waking up my conscience. Whenever I was a little child, I was 5, 6 years old. There was an old lady by the name of Miss Fay. I don't know her last name. Her name was Miss Fay. She was probably in her late 70s at the Fairview Baptist Church, the little Southern Baptist church where my dad went at the time. I was raised Southern Baptist until I got saved in Independent Baptist Church, and have been that pretty much the whole since I got born again. But in the early days, we were raised in the Southern Baptist Church, and we had that Awana program. And that Awana program, Miss Fay, I remember sitting in there, and she began to teach me the words of God. I began to hear the Word of God early on. I remember the first time, as a little child, memorizing John 3:16. And whenever I quoted that back to her, even though I was a little child and I wasn't saved, I can still remember in my 40-year-old mind, going back to a 6-year-old child, God began to awaken my conscience with the words of God, with the book that God gave to me to hear and to memorize. And so, number one, here's what we're going to get to. Number one, you say, what's my relationship with the Bible? Number one, you got to seek out and read it. You said, Brother Brian, that's complicated. Amen. Look at it. Isaiah 34, verse number 16. Look at what it says. And I want you to turn to these places, because one of the things that you need to learn how to do with your Bible is you need to learn how to reference where these things are. The Bible says that we are to learn these things that we may be able to teach others also, with family members and with friends and with coworkers and neighbors, when people come to you with questions and say, hey, what about this? And if you have a relationship with your Bible and you begin to mark your Bible, don't be afraid to write in it. I used to only write with Bible pens. Now I just write with my ballpoint pen because I always have one on me. And I've got notes in here. I've had this Bible 25 years. And there's underlying things. There's notes. There's tear stains. There's spit stains from me preaching, amen, spitting on it. Amen. Sometimes my pages stick together, you know, when I'm preaching, you know. I gotta get it all pulled back apart. It's like glued together. You say, what is that? Just a relationship with my Bible. And now I know where things are at. I may not know the book, chapter, and verse, but I can go to my mind and say, man, I know what the verse says. I don't necessarily remember where it's at, but I remember what side of the page it's on. And so that's why you ought to have a relationship with your Bible. So number one, seek out and read it. Look at verse 16 of Isaiah 34. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and do what? Read. And no one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For her mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. So seek out of the book of the Lord and read. Turn your Bible to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. We were reading this morning, and I told my wife, I said, send me that verse. I said, I'm going to put that in my first point in my Sunday school. You see, it was an example of I had this prepared, and we were reading the Bible this morning as a family, and this verse jumped out, and I said, hey, it's another cross-reference to the first point that we ought to seek out and read. Isaiah or Jeremiah 36, verse number 8, and Barak the son of Nerah did according to that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Verse number 11, when Micaiah the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord. Verse 13, then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Barak read the book in the ears of the people. So seek out and read. Just read the Bible. You say, I don't understand it. Read it anyway. Read it till you're finished. You would be surprised on how many people in here, and I won't embarrass anybody, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you'd be surprised if you went through here and you were asked, the God's people, to be honest, on how many of you, since you have been saved by the good grace of God, have read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Be surprised on how many people have never read it all the way through. They start in Genesis, and they go through it pretty good. Then they get to Exodus, and they say, that's pretty good stuff. You know, God's people getting out of Egypt. And then they hit Leviticus. And things start slowing down. You know, Leviticus, listen, Leviticus is a book that's not necessarily meant to be just read. It's a book to be studied. I sat under Brother Dan Metters. Brother Dan Metters, back in 2020, God got him in the book of Leviticus, and he said, I'll probably stay in this book studying it the rest of my life. And over at the Bible Institute that he teaches, he's almost 80 years old. He's been going through there now for several years, teaching that book of Leviticus, and it's coming alive. And I thought, man, I had never seen Leviticus on this fashion. I've never heard it like this. But I'm saying, hey, amen, you ought to read it. You ought to read the Bible. Know what the Bible says. Get through it. I used to tell people, read it through once a year. Do you know it takes 15 minutes a day or less to read your Bible all the way through? I mean, 15 minutes a day. That's not very much, is it? And yet so many people have never read it. I used to say you ought to do it once a year. I started telling people now, just sometime between the time you got saved and the time you check out of this world, you ought to at least go through it once. Amen? Because I'm telling you, it's like pulling teeth now, trying to get people to read their Bible. But God said you ought to seek out of the book of the Lord and read. It's amazing, amen, what God will do. He'll speak to you. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse number 3, and you can turn there if you want to. Revelation 1, 3 says this, blessed is he that readeth. You say, what do I get from reading the Bible? A blessing? You want the blessing of God on your life? Just read the Bible. And specifically read the book of Revelation, he said there. But I think it applies to the whole Bible. You ought to read the Bible to get the blessing of God. It is amazing. I've been through the Bible, I don't know, conservatively. There's a few years there I read it through a couple times a year. One time, four times in the year. But I've tried to get through it at least one time a year since I got right with the Lord. So probably 35 times in my life. That's not a lot. Brother Rick Weimer's been through it over 200 because him and his boys did the translation from the English and the German, and they would read it through back and forth together in both languages there as they translated the Bible from the English into the German. And but it's amazing. One thing you get from the Bible is when you read the Bible, you'll read a chapter that you've read dozens and dozens of times, and then something will jump off the page that you never saw before. Man, it's almost spooky. Because you said, man, I've read that before, but I've never seen that. It's never come across in that fashion before in my life. So the first thing you got to do with your relationship with you and your Bible is seek out of the book of the Lord and read it. And then number two, I want to say this. You ought to memorize it and quote it. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 11, you can turn there if you like. Psalm 119, verse number 11, David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, you read the Lord Jesus Christ account whenever he was tempted there in the wilderness in Matthew chapter number 4 and Luke chapter number 4. The Lord Jesus Christ quoted the words of God from memory. He quoted the word of God back to the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness. And by the way, the devil knows the word of God. The devil knows what the Bible says. Because the devil can quote the word of God back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, don't, sarcastically I would say this, don't let the devil be a better Bible quoter or Bible knower than you are. Amen. Memorize the word of God and quote it. You ought to challenge yourself to memorize the word of God, and naturally you will quote it throughout your day. Whenever I first got right with the Lord, after I went to that teen camp years ago, Brother Nathan, I got on fire for God. I was living in sin. I was living wrong. I was already saved. And I made a lot of big decisions in my life. I went to my dad. I said, Dad, I can't live here anymore. And I moved in with my grandparents as a teenager. And I started sitting on the front row of the church that I had gotten saved in. I went back. It was been many years since I'd got saved, the time I got right with the Lord. Man, I just got a hunger for the Bible. Man, my pastor gave me a church key, and me and another brother get up there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we go pray over the missionary letters that were on the walls and in the hallway that have all the missionary letters. We'd put our hands on them and pray for them. And then we started memorizing the Bible. I had a little bus route that we were on, and I said, you know what we'll do? I said, we'll have a time on the bus route where we teach these kids. I'm talking about kids from the wrong side of the tracks, right? We lived in a predominantly Caucasian town. And so this was just, if I could say it this way, it was just old trailer trash kids. I mean, the moms and dads would just kind of send them out for free babysitters. And we'd love on those kids, and we'd feed them, and we'd preach to them. And one of the things we did is we taught them the Bible. And in teaching those kids the Bible, at memorizing the scripture, we'd give them candy and various things, you know, to reward them from their memorization. But I thought to myself, I was 17, 18 years old at the time. I'm 40 years old now. And I still remember standing up at the front of that hot bus, pouring sweat as we went and picked up the little kids and teaching them John chapter number 1. And you know, I didn't do that on myself. I taught it to the little kids, but all these years later, I was thinking this morning, I think I still know it. And I went back and started quoting it in my mind. And I read over it a couple times. And it just kind of came back to my memory. The Word of God, it gets in your heart and your mind. Listen, we ought to hide it in our heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You said, where'd you learn that? I taught it to the kids when I was 17. Wow. I thought, man, I need to know how to lead somebody to the Lord. If somebody, I don't have a Bible and I'm talking to somebody about their soul. And so I went through there and memorized Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Acts 20 2021, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what is that? When I was a teenager, I memorized those verses and they're still in my head and in my heart. You say, what do you do? Memorize it. But it takes some work. It takes some diligent work to learn to memorize the Word of God. You got something you're struggling with? Find a verse where God said, hey, this is how you can get the victory. And memorize that verse to help you get the victory. And sometimes I would take my phone and I would listen. Back in those days, I would listen to Alexander Scorby. And I would rewind it on a little cassette. And I would listen. That's how I memorized. I wanted to memorize what Paul's last words were to Timothy. And I quote it sometimes when I'm preaching, you know, there in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, where Paul told Timothy those last words, and I can still rattle it off. You say, how'd you learn that? I learned it by just listening over and over and over and over again. When I was driving in my pickup, I had a little Nissan pickup, put that cassette tape in there, I'd listen, and then I'd rewind it. I'd listen again, rewind it, listen again, rewind it, until it got in my head and my heart. So memorize it and quote it. Seek out and read. Memorize and quote. And then number 3, search the Scriptures. John chapter 5 and verse number 39. John said to us, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Did you know that the Bible has the answers to life's questions? The book has the answers. It's in the book. He said, how do I know how to get through this? Look in the Bible. Search it out. Find out what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? What's the Bible say about salvation? You doubt your salvation? As a child of God, anybody ever doubted it? I've had to search the Scriptures before because the old scoundrel devil said in my heart, yea, if God said, you're not even saved. Why, you didn't really mean it. You don't even remember what you prayed, as if it was a prayer that saved me. But you've got to get in the Bible and say, okay, what does the Bible say about salvation? What does the Bible say about assurance of salvation? What does the Bible say about the eternal security of my salvation? All of that is in the book and you have to search it out. What does the Bible say about separation? About specific things. You know, the Bible has specific things that it deals with. For instance, the Bible says, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. So we know the Bible says a man ought not to have long hair. He ought to keep his hair cut. Now, the Independent Baptist will tell you where the line is on that. But the Bible doesn't really say. It just says not to have long hair. So does that mean it has to be buzzed? Does that mean it has to be a millimeter long, 2 millimeters? I don't know. God doesn't tell us specifically. I think that's why you got the Holy Ghost in you that can talk to you. And you don't need a Baptist pope telling you what God said and what, amen, put these restrictions on you. Just, you know what long hair is. God says, but there's specific things. You can search out and say, hey, the Bible, this is what the Bible says. And you learn it by searching it. What does the Bible say about these issues of separation? Long hair. What's the Bible say about tattoos? Now, if you got them before you got saved, or if you backslid on God and you got them, it's not to shame anybody that has them, but I'm saying from now on, you ought not to get one because the Bible says you ought not to print any markings upon your body, nor make any cuttings in your flesh. He said, I am the Lord. So God has some things that He says about certain things, but you say, how do you know that, Brother Brian? You got to search the Scripture. You got to find out what the Bible says. What's the Bible say about modest dress on men and women? But listen, the Bible just says that a woman ought to adorn herself in modest apparel. But then the rest is between you and God, not what somebody puts on you. There are gray areas in the Bible. There are certain things that God allows you to have liberty in Christ. He does not put you under the bondage, under the yoke of bondage anymore. The Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage of this world. But then he says this, he said, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So you have liberty to do things as a Christian, but don't cross the line so you can have an occasion to your own flesh. Be led by the Spirit of God. You read the book of Galatians, God will show you some things, and He gives us some liberties in Christ. You say, how do we know that? We search the Scriptures. We got to find out, what does the Bible say? What's the Bible say about cussing? It says some things about it. What's the Bible say about lust? What's the Bible say about borrowing money? The Bible says to borrow a servant to the lender. What's the Bible say about debt? The Bible has some things to say about it. You say, where do I find it? You got to search it. Search it out. Find it where it's at. Find the verses. What's the Bible say about saving money? What's the Bible say about giving? What's the Bible say about bitterness? What's the Bible say about church attendance? That's one of the verses I memorized, Hebrews 10:25. I wanted to know some verses about what does God say about going to church every time the doors are open. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I don't want to be as the manner of some is. Because there's some that's the manner of some. They just kind of go here and go there. I'm not talking about situations like Brother Gary Brown where he's trying to take care of his father. And I'm not talking about if you're out of town or you're sick. Or I'm not talking about that. See, that's where God gives us liberty. Doesn't put us under the bondage of religion. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. And then he says this, and so much the more. So as we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, are we supposed to have more services or less? More. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the day of Christ. So we have to search. What does the Bible say about that? What's the Bible say about whatever subject that you wonder about? I guarantee you there's something in the Bible but you have to search to know what it says. What's the Bible say about service, serving the Lord? Did you know God can speak to you through certain verses and He can apply that verse to you specifically? Brother Rick Weimer is one of them. He's a missionary to Germany. And Brother Rick Weimer, the brethren told him when he went to the mission field in 1986, it was still a communist country. The wall had not fallen. And they said, you can't get over the wall in East Germany. No missionaries are getting into East Germany. You're going to have to go somewhere different over there because you can't. He'd travel around, so I'm going to East Germany. Man, he was reading his Bible. He's read it over 200 times, like I told you. At that time, he was still reading it. I mean, he got saved. He got called to be a missionary to East Germany. The brethren telling you, it can't be done. It can't be done. You can't go over there. You can't get in there. It's illegal. He said he was reading through 2 Samuel in chapter 22, verse number 30. And he said, God showed me the verse. It says, for by thee I have run through a troop. By my God, I have leaped over a wall. And God said, Brother Rick, you're going to go over the wall into East Germany. And he started selling fruit. Because it was communist times. He'd load up the back of that car, he said, with bananas. And he would go through into East Germany there. And would sell that fruit. And he would smuggle in tracts and Bibles. Ended up getting him a place to live there. And God got him in there and in 1989 or 1990, it was just 4 or 5 years later, the wall fell. But about 5 years before the wall fell, when all the brethren said, it cannot be done, Brother Rick, he started searching the Scripture and God said, you're going to leap over a wall. You say, where's that? Where do I find that? How does God speak to me? He speaks to you by searching the Scriptures. Whenever I was on a cruise boat. I took my wife on a cruise because we were stressed out. Amen. I encourage you, if you're stressed out, go on a cruise. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a good bang for your buck too. I was sitting out on that, this was in October of 2023. sitting out there and I was reading my Bible. And I got over there to Genesis chapter number 29. And I knew God was getting ready to do something with me. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I just knew that God was going to change my venue from where I was at. In Genesis 29, verse number 1, I was reading along there, and it said, "Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And God said, you're going to the East River Baptist Church." Amen. And I said, "I'm going to go." And I went to talk to Brother Ron Ralph and went to the pastor school, and Brother Hoots was there. Hallelujah. And God began to deal with my heart about coming here. You say, how'd that happen? Searching the scripture. And God took a verse and it jumped off the page in my heart. You say, what is that? You only get that by being in the book. God can take something for this over here, Genesis 29:1, about Jacob and his journey, and God can apply it to you. You say, how do I get a word from God? You got to get in the book of God so that the God of the book can talk to you. You and your Bible, your relationship with the Bible, you got to seek it out and you got to read, you got to memorize and you got to quote it. You got to search the scripture. And then you got to meditate on the scripture. Meditate on it. Joshua 1:8. You can turn there, write the reference down, I'll quote it to you. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You say, what do I do? We ought to spend time meditating on the Word of God. Sometimes it's a whole chapter. Sometimes it's a few verses. Sometimes it's one verse. Sometimes it's just a few words. And sometimes it's just a word. Just a word. Just one word that God says, hey, that's for you today. And like a cow that got a mouthful of grass, you take it, and you swallow that Word of God, the good Word of God. And then you say, what do I do with it? Be like an old cow. Just regurgitate it up back in your mouth and just chew on it. Just chew the cud of the Word of God. It'll help you. Strengthen you. It'll cleanse you. Amen. It'll give you hope. It'll give you help. It'll give you peace. But you got to meditate upon the words of God and what you need. You see, that's your relationship with you and your Bible. It's more than a book that we just open up and we follow along with the preacher. We read the Word of God. We search the Word of God. We memorize the Word of God. We meditate upon the Word of God. And then look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're coming to the end here of just the introduction. This is just the very first part of this Sunday school lesson. And I've tried to slow down, but in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse number 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shalt be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." Look at this now. "And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You know another thing you can do with the Bible? I'm talking about you and your Bible. You ought to post scripture in your house where it can be seen. I have a picture that Brother John Wilhoit gave me. It's in my barn now. It was in my old house because we ran out of room to put decorations in our house where we got now. And it's the entire Bible in one big picture. It's real small. I can take my phone camera, zoom up real close, and you can read it. But it's the Word of God. You know, sometimes you're going to need the Word of God around your house. I was telling Pastor Hooch yesterday, there was back when my dad committed suicide. The devil, we cleaned up my dad's mess there where his suicide scene was, and it was awful. It's a lot of grace to get through that time. But I don't know if there was demonic spirits in the room. It was just a heaviness and a darkness. And there is an unseen spirit world out there that we cannot see with our physical eyes. And after that, I was telling him after that, there was an oppression on me. It was so bad. I never had suicidal thoughts personally, but it was so bad that I was afraid that because my dad committed suicide, that eventually I was going to get to the point where I was going to do the same thing. It was so bad I took all my guns, and I've got a whole bunch of guns, and I took them to my father-in-law's house, and I locked them up. And for almost a year, I wouldn't pick up a gun. I didn't want to look at a gun. And I remember one time it was so heavy in our house, my kids were coming into the room and saying, told my wife, she's here, said, my daughter came in crying, she said, the devil's in my room. My son had a little hamster, and there was this little hamster was running on the wheel screaming. It was all in the same time. You could just feel a heaviness in our house, a darkness. And I don't know if it came from cleaning up my dad's suicide scene and just the devil attacking us, trying to get our victory, trying to keep us from going on for God. And I remember getting up, and we took that verse there in the book of Revelation, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. Quoted those blood verses all the way through the Bible, just going through quoting the blood verses, posting verses in the bathroom, posting verses on the walls there, on the refrigerator, and quoting them out loud. He said, what happened? Eventually the darkness lifted. But there was a time when there was a darkness and an oppression. And the only way you can cleanse that thing, I believe, is by the Word of God. Post it. Amen. Quote it. Memorize it. And then lastly, study the Scriptures. So seek out and read. Memorize it and quote it. Search the Scripture. Meditate on the Scripture. Post the Scripture where it can be seen. And then study the Scripture. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know why most people don't study their Bible? Because Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. Somebody says, well, I know people joke, but they say, the preacher don't really work. All he does is just sit around and read and study. The Bible says that much study is a weariness of the flesh. A preacher, he may not be out there working hard labor. That's why many preachers, they have the battle of the bulge going on. And they got back problems because they sit in a chair studying, or they sit in a pew, or they sit in a car, they sit on an airplane, or they sit at a table and eat. They sit around a fellowship. But you really get in the Bible and you begin to study it, it's work. It is labor. They labor in the Word of God. That's why in the early church, the Bible says that they were to have deacons, because it was not meet that these apostles, these pastors would leave the Word of God and serve tables. So they appointed 7 deacons to do the physical things in the church there, because they were to give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. It was work, so they could stand up and preach. But you know, your job, even as a church member, is to study the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And it's a workman. It's a workman. It's going to take work. And the Bible says we're to rightly divide the word of truth. It's amazing how dumb people are when it comes to Bible doctrine and what the Bible actually teaches. Here's one for you, and I'll close with this because we're out of time. If a person commits suicide and they're saved, do they go to hell? I say no. You say, why? That's not my opinion, by the way, because of what the Bible teaches. Samson committed suicide. They're in the book of Judges. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, you know who's in the hall of faith? Samson. Samson committed suicide, but he died and he went to heaven. You see, you got to study the scripture. You got to rightly divide it. You got to put things in the right dispensation and in the right category, in the right place. You don't just get it just by reading it. It goes beyond just reading. We started with reading, but we ended with studying it. So as we journey through here, we're going to look next week on some keys on understanding and learning your Bible. How do you study? How do you begin to unwrap this book? What are some steps that we must take when we begin to get in the Bible and our Bible becomes personal to us as we develop a relationship with our God through His Word? Amen? And so we'll stop there for sake of time. We're out of time this morning. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to actually have a copy of it. Many of us have many, many copies. And Lord, forgive us of so many times taking it for granted. Father, bless now Brother Clark and Brother Justin there in the prison. Lord, touch Brother Elsie this morning as he preaches the Word of God to us. Help us to receive it. And Lord, help us to implement the Word of God to our lives. Be with our pastor tonight as he preaches it. And Lord, I pray that all day long that we would take the truth and Lord, hide it in our heart, be cleansed and changed by the Word of God as we, Lord, seek to have a closer relationship with the God of the Word. We ask all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. You've got a few minutes before church starts.